I can feel a flash of light bursting forth through the night. Could it be you finally come to grace our life with your angel song? I've been waiting
Can you hear me, baby? Stories of sex, love, and OMG birth is being presented as a stage reading with music on March 27th and 28th at Berkshire Theatre Group's Unicorn Theatre in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, as a benefit for the National Perinatal Association, Berkshire Festival of Women Writers, and Wham Theatre, written by Lisa Raphael with music by Lisa Raphael and Gary Malkin. Can You Hear Me, Baby? Brings together birth stories and original music to dramatize the joy, the challenges, the personal courage, and profundity of birth. Here to tell us more are the playwright, Lisa Raphael, and the production's director and producer, and our dear friend, Jane Atkinson. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Joe. Hi.
What a delight to have you both here. This is very, very cool. So give me an idea, Lisa, of how long this has been around, been in you.
It's been in me for quite some time. It, you know, for me, I've always been working in music and in sound and theater, and I started writing lullabies for babies and moms to help them connect and bond, and that was inspired from my own awareness that I hadn't bonded for my own daughter. So that kind of became a passion for me and drove me into getting clinical testing. In fact, at St. Peter's here in Albany, they did clinical trials on the music, and then I met
Jane. Which were
Jane.
Very successful.
Yeah, very successful trials.
That told us what?
That told us then that when the moms were listening to this music, they relaxed so well into a heart-coherent state that the health and well-being of their little premature baby showed vital sign improvements.
When the music is listened to?
Only by the mother.
When?
Mom is holding the baby without listening to the music. We are seeing all the vitals of the baby, and we're testing the heart coherence of the mother. Then mom starts listening to the music, and we see if there's a change. And there was a dramatic change in the response of the baby's calm as the mother got more calm.
Wow. So there's a heart coherence that actually occurs between the mother's heartbeat and the baby's heartbeat. When you hold your newborn, when it's first born, they're testing the coherence of the heartbeats with baby and mother.
But it's not just the heartbeat. It's the oxygen level. It's the capacity for the baby's response system. And what we're seeing is if the mom relaxes, then the baby improves. So using music to help the mom to relax is an entraining device. It stops her from, because the songs are actually written using tempo, rhythm, and pitch,
right,
to help support the heart resonance, and also the lyrics are very innocent and heart-opening. It's easy to get the mind quieter because you're like in almost a meditative state. You're like going, oh, this is such a nice way to feel.
So how does that then become this theatrical work?
Right.
Because you do add the sex and love part.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how do you get baby?
Well,
you
know? I had to.
There are two essential ingredients.
Two
Jane,
very
right.
essential ingredients. Well, what happened was this was all really wonderful, and the clinical trials were great, but I really wanted the conversation to change. So that people were more aware, first of all, of birth choices that they had,
yeah,
and stories that they could hear that could inspire them and empower them and make them laugh and not take it so seriously. And at the same time, it's the most stressful time ever, birth. I mean, it's incredibly stressful,
right,
for everybody. So if we could reduce that and make it more informative and fun and also similar to the vagina monologues. You know, when Eve Ensler came out with stories that were able to touch your heart and also create a sense of empathy and compassion and entertainment, it could touch into your own story, and you could feel that resonance with the story. So I interviewed a lot of women and doctors and midwives and dads, and I took those real stories and turned them into this very funny sometimes and also very touching and connecting stories. And then I, my collaborator, Gary Malkin, who is just a genius, he's an Emmy Award-winning composer. He and I have been working together for a long time with the original music and then more music, and I just called him. I said, "So you want to do a play?"
And he went, "Birth?" No.
And he went, "That's been my dream." I mean, this is a man who has certainly written. He's written film scores and television scores and commercials and everything. And he just went, "Yes."
So then, Jane Atkinson, producer, director, how did you get involved in this?
Well, Lisa came to Motherhood Out Loud last time at this time of year last year, which was a huge success. We raised a lot of money, and she was at the final performance, and she felt the energy in the room, and she felt the community from that was brought together talking about motherhood. And I believe that inspired Lisa to want to create this show and work with me as a producer and director. And so she called me and asked me, "Would you like to do it?" And I have a history with child birthing practices of my own. When I was younger, I wanted to be a doula and I wanted to be a midwife. I read a wonderful book called The Magical Child by Joseph Chilton Pierce about giving birth and the power of the mother and the heart rate resonance, the reduction of oxytocin in mother and child when there's skin-to-skin contact.
The raising of oxytocin.
The lowering of oxytocin.
No, you want
the
raising
of oxytocin, but there's another chemical that's created in childbirth that gets lowered when you hold the baby. And I decided to have a water birth. And so this subject is very near and dear to my heart. And Lisa and I decided right away that we wanted it to be funny. And we wanted it to be connecting, and that we wanted music.
And the music is so important because it gets to the whole point, really, of what you're getting at. Of, because it not only, I assume, calms the mother and the baby, but also, in this case, the audience.
Not really. We wrote very funny, upbeat music. We decided that
we're not going to put you to sleep. Although there is some beautiful, beautiful,
some beautiful
lullabies and ballads, but we have.
But, you know, the sex part needed something. And so.
Yeah, you don't want to go to sleep.
Boy, does it. Yeah.
So I went to Gary and I said, "Listen, we have to talk about after the birth when the husband is like feeling left out." And so we have a Barry White parody in the middle of the second act, which is very effective. And I wanted to have something about between the women, the argument around drugs. So we wrote a very funny piece called "I Really Want Drugs," which
meaning drugs during childbirth.
Oh, yes.
of whether you do it naturally or
so we have
some assistance so you're not in excruciating pain.
Yes, so everybody has to choose at some point which direction they would like to go in. That doesn't mean that's the direction they're going to end up in. You know, as one of the doctors said to me, birth is a wish list. You know, it's what you want to have happen.
Sure,
but
yeah.
So some of the stories touch into that in a very funny way. But I really want drugs. You know, it's like the lyric is, you know, "I really want drugs. Give me epidural drugs." You know, and then you have Mother Courage coming in. "Have your baby naturally. Be a mother." You know, so you have
hyperbole, right? So you have people representing almost opposite ends of the spectrum to laugh.
Like the angel and the devil on the shoulder.
Exactly.
Yes, there's that. Yeah. And there are also songs that were inspired from our second album. I think you were playing one of them, which is The Journey
coming
of Our
in,
Lives,
right.
coming in, which is the dad song. about the anticipation. And we do have a beautiful dad monologue as well. So it's not just for women. It's really, hopefully, for women and men to share these stories.
Jane, tell us a little bit about the cast that's been assembled here. It's pretty incredible.
It's wonderful. We have David Joseph, who is an actor that works quite a bit at Shakespeare and Company. Wonderful voice, very funny man, and I think he's got his own personal fan group in the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. We have Rachel Siegel, who is a writer herself, and she actually just performed in Out of the Mouth of Babes, which was the first fundraising offering for Berkshire Festival of Women Writers. We have Hope Fitzgerald, who is a life coach and healer and mom and my dearest, dearest friend. And we have Angela Polite, who is an African-American actress coming in from New York, who has a gorgeous voice. We are very happy to have her here in the Berkshires. And then we have a wonderful actress named Gwen Loeb, who is coming in from San Francisco. She was in the original reading, and I just fell in love with her, and so did Lisa. So we just worked it out that we could have her here. And then we have Erica Twiss, who is part of our chorus, and Judy Gray, who is a wonderful singer and a music teacher, and she's offered to be part of our chorus. So we have a wonderful group of people, both local and New York and San Francisco, that are lending their voices and acting talents to the show.
Are you in it as well, Jane, or are you just...
Ah, that's a surprise.
Okay, all right. All right. I mean, you got enough to do just with the directing and producing.
I'll tell you. It is a lot, but I think we'll pull it off.
Do you enjoy directing?
I actually really do enjoy directing. It's been a wonderful experience for me to wear this hat. Producing is challenging because there's been two of us pulling all the elements together, but right. We have Anastasia Stammeyer coming over for Berkshire Magazine to review us. We have a videographer coming. We have a photographer coming. And our goal is to raise as much money, obviously, as we can for these organizations. But directing actually allows me to utilize all of my skills as an actress that I've gathered over these years and is teaching me what I really know. Working with Lisa, you know, we would take the pieces and I would say, how about if we did this and how we did that, because Lisa is an actress as well. So telling stories is really our first love. So I'm finding that because that's such a passion of mine, that directing actually gives my brain a wider berth. You know, I'm not just doing my part, I'm doing the whole story. And I adore that. I love doing that. And I love deciding on the lights and the sound and all that.
And I've loved her as my director-producer because, you know, I wanted to do something creative with the stories that were not just monologues.
Right.
So I have duologues and scenes and things we call fugues and waterfalls and all sorts of different ways for the actors to become very involved with each other as well as with the audience. And because of Jane's extraordinary laugh and sense of humor, she inspired it's been a great experience of really diving into my funny bone at a very full level. And so it's just been glorious.
And, oh, thank you, honey.
And I would assume that there's a lot about pacing, right, to keep it going, to keep the stories going.
Stories going, because we have monologues, we have, you know, to insert something funny between two monologues that are a little more serious, just to keep the audience, you know, leaning in, I call it. And it is a reading, so... And those can actually be the most wonderful because they're very spontaneous. So our desire is to keep the audience leaning in emotionally and either laughing or hopefully those tissues, bring tissues, because it's very moving. And, you know, we also are having a talk back after the matinee on Saturday the 28th. And I think that's going to be marvelous because when we talk about this show to anybody, and if they have children and they're... Or they want to have children. All of a sudden, the stories come pouring out. Well, this happened to me, and this happened to me. And I remember when we were working on it, Lisa interviewed me, and I got very emotional just thinking back to my husband, Michael Gill, and I having our son, Jeremy, and the choices we were making, and that magical moment when we were all together. And it was very emotional. So I think this has, and everyone has a mother.
Yes.
And everybody has a father.
Yes.
So whether you have children or not, you are a child to a mother and father. And
you're a part of the equation.
Yeah.
You definitely are. We had an invited reading in California, in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And it was very exciting for me. We had Equity Actors in to do the scenes, and everybody is laughing. And there are moments where one of the actresses is moving into this wonderful, deep, tender place, and the other actresses start crying with her, and the whole audience is going, oh. And we all walked out of that experience just as Jane is talking about. It really evoked so many wonderful conversations and real interest in the play, which was exciting for me.
So where would you like it to go beyond here? What is the life of this work, do you think?
There is definitely a life after here.
Yeah.
We both are very excited by the material and by what has been birthed on the page and in the music. And we are looking forward to seeing this.
Well, we already have an agreement from the
National Perinatal Association
for 2016. They want us to do the show there.
And this is for their big conference in Houston, Texas. Mm. So when they heard about the show and they saw
but it. But how will it play in Houston?
Yes, well, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. We also, Lisa's from San Francisco, so we're looking. I have a friend in San Francisco who runs a theater. Her name is Carrie Perloff, so we're going to send it to her. We're looking at, we have connections to a theater in L.A., and eventually we'd love to do it off-Broadway in New York.
Sure.
You know, the Vagina Monologues lasted for a very long time, and as we say, everyone's got a mom and dad.
Yeah.
So we hope to grow it and take it all over.
Yeah, it's a real when we first started, Joe, it was being birthed because there was so much creativity wanting this to happen. And
sure.
Now it's being taken further because we see what we have created, and we know how people have been responding. So we want to make sure we can share it.
That's beautiful. That is. Are you, what else do you have going on, Jane?
I'm going to make a little plug for
Jeremy.
The Little Shop of Horrors, which is at the Monument Mountain High School. Our son Jeremy Gill is in it,
cool.
With lots of other wonderful,
wonderful
high school students, directed by Lene Marseille. And it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 2:00.
Awesome.
And so they've worked so hard. So I wanted
what
to make
part
a
does
little,
he play?
He's playing Seymour.
How cool!
I know. So
cool.
I would just want to make a plug for them because they've
that
just
is
all
so
those
neat.
Kids have been working so hard.
That's such a great show.
I am on a show called Odyssey, which is premiering April 5th on NBC, and Michael is doing a wonderful series that's going to be coming up in the spring, in the fall, called Mr. Robot, which just won at the Audience Award at South by Southwest for Best New Pilot.
Oh, that's great.
Yay.
And, of course, House of Cards.
Oh, my God, you were so good in that this season.
Thank you.
I mean, you're good in it. They gave you a lot to do this year.
They gave me more to do, and apparently I'm very good at beer pong. So that was really, really great. You know, really? No. I've never played beer pong in my life, but I looked like I did on television.
Oh, man, it was just great stuff.
Yeah.
Really, really
And,
fun.
You know, they're looking to see, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a season 4. They're being a little cagey, but I'm pretty sure we got to figure out what happens to Claire and Frank.
Right.
They're falling apart.
I was going to say it's an amazing show, but I mean, just that whole experiment of
changed the landscape of television. It's affected it in every sector. In fact, I will tell you that the reason I think Odyssey and Mr. Robot are so amazing. The writing is so amazing is because they see now what they need to do for audiences, what audiences can handle. Right? We don't dumb us down.
Well, that's right.
Don't dumb us down.
Oddly enough, the audiences want quality. Who knew?
Oh, who knew that? Who knew? We didn't want to. I'm sorry, but we, you know, Windex is good, but quality television is just as important. And that is no offense to Windex. I have some of my own.
And who else is in Odyssey?
Treat Williams.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? I'm not doing very good with
that's
that.
That's okay. That's all right.
Treat Williams is in it, and there's some newbies, new people in it. And there's a wonderful woman who's playing the lead, Odell. And I'm sorry, I didn't expect to talk about
that's
this,
okay.
so I don't have
fine.
My list. I'm
that's
in
fine.
It.
It's American Odyssey, and it premieres April 5th.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of cool people.
Yes. Very, very well said, Joe. Sorry, everybody.
No,
sorry.
That's fine. It's the guy from the Twilight movies and Nurse Jackie, isn't it? Right? Peter Facinelli.
So. Yes, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God.
Well
thank
done.
You, Joe.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, because I saw the promo.
Yes.
So I look forward to that.
Odell Lives. It was hashtag Odell Lives. It's actually a fantastic, fantastic show.
Great. So all of this is happening, but let us not lose sight of the fact
that
Can You Hear Me, Baby is going to be performed three times, March 27th at 7, March 28th at 2, March 28th at 7. And there is the talk back after the 2 o'clock performance. You can go to canyouhearmebaby.com for more information. Canyouhearmebaby.com for more information. It takes place at the Unicorn Theater, which is part of the Berkshire Theater Group, of course. Unicorn Theater, 6 East Street in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. All of the proceeds going to the Berkshire Festival of Women's Writers, WHAM Theater, and the National Perinatal Association. It is written with music by Lisa Raffel, directed and produced by Jane Atkinson. We thank both of them for being with us this morning. A delight to have you both here.
Thank you, Joe. You're just so rock.
Thank you. Well, right back to you. Thank you so much. And again, find out more at canyouhearmebaby.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.